shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Bedtime turns me off and I don't need maybe.
Welcome. Dave Hoekstra here. It's a Nocturnal Journal with Dan Long behind the wheel. We've got a good show tonight. We're going to talk about the Gobbler Theater up in Wisconsin, and we're going to do an interview with Nile Rodgers. And in studio, we're going to have Corey Dennison toward the end of the show. But right now on the phone, calling from Wisconsin, is my new hero, Dan Manassas. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
You have done a great thing in saving the Gobbler Theater. Tell our listeners, there's so much to talk about, but tell our listeners what the Gobbler Theater is and what it was.
It used to be a supper club. It was on I-94 and Highway 26 in Johnson Creek. That's about halfway between Madison, Wisconsin and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was a supper club built in the late 60s, went for quite a few years as a supper club, and then went out of business and was kept standing by two car dealers, hoping to revive it someday as something.
And it was started by Clarence Hartwig. In my research, I did a supper club book about 2013, and we do a little tribute to it. It was closed then, but we had Clarence was an area turkey farmer. He's since passed away, and that's why it's called the Gobbler. I mean, he served turkey. Tell us about the architecture. I mean, it's really a fantastic place.
It looks from the side, it looks like a flying saucer, and from the top, it looks like a turkey. It's round, and if you'd look at it from an aerial view, it looks like a turkey sitting on the ground. The windows are all like turkey eyes. There are slats in the floor that look like turkey eyes. Most everything there is made to resemble a turkey, as he was a turkey farmer, and that was his dream.
And he served turkey, right?
Turkey, prime rib, steak. In the day, I went there in the late 60s with little girls because I lived in Madison. I was trying to impress them. I made $1.30 an hour, and a steak was $16. But in the day, it was a hotsy-totsy nightclub. It was like a miniature Playboy club.
Yeah, you told me this. I'll get to coming up and seeing you on Sunday. But and I heard this from other people, that instead of like the waitresses and the servers having little bunny tails, they had turkey feathers. I mean, he really did the whole turkey thing up to the tilt, didn't he?
Yeah, the turkey thing went great. He also liked pink and purple. There was pink and purple shag rugs on the walls and the carpets and everything else. Everything fit a theme. The tablecloths, the plates. The bus people had certain outfits on, and the waitresses or wait staff, as we call them now, look like little Playboy bunnies except with feathers instead of a cotton tail.
And the architect was Helmut, I don't know if I pronounced this right, Ajango, and he blended mid-century design with a prairie architecture. I've seen ads where they said the Gobbler was where central Wisconsin meets the Concord Age. It was very, very Jetson-like, and you've retained that in the theater.
What we tried to do is when we bought it, the second floor or a dance floor hung from the ceiling by wires and cables, and there was a kitchen. And when I first walked in it to look at it, I tried to look at it and say, would this work as an amphitheater? I thought it would, but to get a clear view of the stage, the 70,000-pound dance floor in the kitchen would have to come out.
And that's why, as a former supper club, you're not serving food there, right? It's just entertainment only?
No, sir. Well, yeah, it's just entertainment only. We've got beer and wine and soda and things like that. And our goal is to have a perfect view, no more than 55 feet from any place in the auditorium.
And your official opening night, I know you've done some private events, but I drove up there Sunday, and that was your first show to the public. You had Starship. And I bought the last ticket. Remember that?
Yes, you sure did. And it was neat because I got to meet you, and I told you kind of the story or the background, and I got some snickers and smiles, and it was great to meet you.
And that was all the truth, right? You told me.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So it's 475 capacity. Give us the stats on the building.
The building, it's actually 405.
Okay.
405 is the seating. Everything is in a circle. So what you did is we took the kitchen out. That became the stage. we took the circle and put all stadium seating in it, but we left the bar, which rotates once an hour, in the middle. I was trying to get kind of the best of both worlds. A lot of people that live there, a lot of older folks, they remember it because the bar goes around, so we were very careful not to disturb the rotating bar, which is one of the few things that worked perfectly. We took care of the bar, made sure that it operated, and we saved all the old pink and purple kind of nightclub chairs which surround the bar.
And no seat is more than 55 feet from the stage. I mean, I wrote a little thing. We're going to link my story. I mean, it is kind of like a theater in the round type thing, except the theater's not in the middle of the room. But all the seats are very close.
Yeah, all the seats have a great view, and that was my goal. It's a small place. I want to give an intimate type of feeling when somebody comes to see a band, and I want to make sure that everybody has a bird's eye view.
No pun intended.
No, sir. No pun intended.
Now, you had Starship. Tell us what people can plan for in the future. What are you looking at? What type of music?
We had Starship with Mickey Thomas and Stephanie. They were fantastic. They sounded exactly the way they did in the day. We have now on our website, which is gobblertheater.com, we have Maddie and Tay, which the tickets are selling, and we have Jenna Kramer, which the tickets are selling right now. We should have two or three more up next week, and we're trying to fill the season in for the rest of the year.
I can't stress how important it is that you save this place. I mean, it's just a gem. It's architecturally, and the history is just, it's really important. I'm glad they had a hotel at one time, and that's gone, the motel. What do you know about that? It was up on the hilltop there?
The hotel was up on the hilltop, and it was pretty unique in its own. Every room had its own little theme. They had a pool in the middle. They had heart-shaped and piano-shaped water beds. And, I mean, this is before water beds were even known. So every room had all kinds of old wood and fireplaces, and it kind of followed the restaurant.
And, again, I've been keeping my eye on the Gobbler, and in years past, just driving by, it's right off of I-94, and in years past, I remember driving by, like this was 10 years ago, and just seeing it out there. And you and I talked about this the other day. Things are starting to get built up around there. There are hotels people can stay at. Tell us, there's an outlet mall and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's an outlet mall, and the outlet mall kind of comes with a little story. I was dating my now wife, and I had wanted to do something like this. I'm in the trucking business, and I don't really have any concept of what this is other than having surrounded myself with real good people to help me. She was across the street at the outlet mall buying a purse. And I looked over and I says, "Look, honey, it's the Gobbler." And she kind of slumped down, and it was like, oh, no. Because each time I say, "Look, honey," it usually costs money and has some kind of input from her. So we drove over there, and she kind of slumped down in the seat. She said, "What's this?" I says, "This is the Gobbler, the world-famous Gobbler." And there was a big sign out front. It said, "Save the Gobbler, you know, no reasonable offer refused, call this number." Well, lucky for me, I had a pen, and I wrote the guy's name down. I called him up. We had gone there on a Saturday, and right after church, I called him up, and I says, "Can I meet you there?" He came running over. Nice folks, Marv Havel. He owns a car dealership out there. He came running over, and he met me, and he looked very lonely. He was sitting in there at this table. At that time, they kept the tables and the chairs and stuff, but there was nothing in it other than that, and he was sitting there kind of looking sad, and I walked around, and I looked at it maybe 15 minutes. I never went in the basement because I just assumed nothing operated. And we made the deal. And I left, and my only contingency was that the village of Johnson Creek would approve what I wanted to do with it.
And again, keep my eye on it, and I think this is in my book, and you and I talked about this. There had been some swings at doing some other stuff. There was talk about maybe turning the Gobbler into a small casino. Marv told me one time that there was ideas of making it a strip club called the Gobbler a Go-Go, but that did not work for the village board, right?
Yeah, the village didn't want that. It's a nice, quiet community, and they wanted to do something with it other than tearing it down or making it a gentleman's bar. So when I went in front of the board, they were excited, but they asked me, they says, well, what do you know about music? I said, nothing. And I'm a believer that you watch people's eyebrows. Everybody's eyebrows were moving. So I thought, well, I better keep talking here. And I told them, I says, I've got some experienced folks surrounding me that are going to help me bring this into play. And what we're going to do is we're going to use the venue as it was to springboard us into making it into a theater.
Now, you and I talked, this would make sense as maybe as a routing point. I mean, there's acts that would play Madison or Minneapolis and maybe be on their way to Chicago, and this would be a, you know, a mid-range act, 405 seats would want to stop, yeah, stop there, well, on the way down.
A lot of bands will play in Chicago, and they go directly to Minneapolis because they're either up-and-coming bands or bands that have flattened out and been around for a long time. And they can fill a 400 or 500 seat place, but they can't fill a place that's 1,000 or 2,000. Nothing existed. So for a long time, they just kind of skipped through town and went up to Minneapolis. And ticket broker friend of mine said, if you make a nice place that gives everybody a good value and gives everybody good visibility, and very important, they call them the green rooms in the basement.
Sure.
That band and stuff go downstairs and they are treated real nice. This will go like hotcakes.
You know, I saw Mickey Thomas, and he at the beginning he did say this is a really unique venue. But I've been to a lot of clubs, and I really think it's one of the most unique music rooms I've been in. Did you get any feedback from the band after the show or before the show? Like what is this place? Did anybody ask about the history?
I talked to Mickey and I talked to Stephanie, and they were fantastic. Half the people in there, either their parents had been there, they've been there, somebody's been there over all the years. And, I mean, I got my hand shook off. Everybody seemed to like it. The band liked it. They said they were going to give us a good recommendation. And what's real important on a new venue is that the band likes it, because all these people work for big agencies, and those agencies have to think that you're for real. So Mickey Thomas and the band gave us a great review.
Well, one of my concert highlights of the year is hearing them sing Feed Your Head at the Gobbler Theater. It was quite memorable.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a break, so don't go away. We got some more to talk about the Gobbler, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll be right back after these spots.
The Olympics of drag racing. Wild pro stocks, wheel standers, thundering nitro-burning dragsters, earth-shaking flame-throwing jets, spectacular funny cars.
Be there for all the action and excitement May 24, 25, 26, Memorial Day weekend.
Great Lakes Dragway, Union Grove, Wisconsin.
The greatest spectacle in drag racing.
Get autographs and pictures of
Jungle Jim, Motown Shaker, Ghetto Rat, Chi-Town Hustler,
Hawaiian, Green Monster, U.S. Marines, Odyssey, War Eagle,
Telstar, Shockwave, U.S. One, English Leather Corvette of Tom Mongoose McEwen,
Don Snake Prudhomme, Bob Pickett, Tom Hoover, Dale Poldy, TV Tommy Ivo,
Big Daddy Don Garlitz, Ron Colson, Tom Baum, Craig Arfon, Shirley Maldoni, all in person.
All racing at least twice each day, all 3 days.
Plus, world champion motorcycle jumper Ken McCall will attempt daring jumps over two buses lined end to end all 3 days.
If he makes it,
you'll like the new electronic scoreboard that flashes the elapsed times and speeds in both lanes.
All this with no increase in any admissions in 1980.
Plus, special for the Olympics of drag racing.
Under 16, still free with general admission.
Advanced tickets at all ticket runs.
That's Memorial Day weekend.
Great Lakes Dragway.
Bring the family for a day of thrills and excitement in beautiful southeast Wisconsin.
4 miles west of I-94 at Union Grove, Wisconsin.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. We're here with Dan Manasis. And Dan, that's for you. So tell us about your background in race car driving.
Well, that kind of, the commercial surprised me because you got it in its entirety. And I've been racing on and off for 40 years. I raced as a kid, and then I went road racing for a few years, and I came back to this probably about 6 years ago in drag racing. My passion's always been drag racing, and a couple of years ago, we actually formed our own team of nostalgia drag racers. What these are is cars from the late 70s and early 80s. They're replicas, most of them, and they're made to look like drag racing cars of the day. There's a dozen of members in our team, although I own 3 cars. Me, Jerry Garcia, race one, and 2 young ladies race the other 2.
You look like, I'm looking at a picture here, you do look like Jerry Garcia, but you also look like George Lucas, you know? He might want to see your place.
Well, there's an up and down side to that. George Lucas has a lot of money, and Jerry Garcia got buried by his relatives, so I'll take George Lucas.
Now, I didn't ask you this the other day. Your career, either in trucking or in race car driving, how did that inform anything that you're doing now in terms of focus and determination and sticking with it? I mean, this is such a unique project you took on.
Well, let's go back to something I didn't even tell you about. When I was a kid, I lived in Madison, and when I got out of school, I moved to Chicago. I lived in right off of Ogden Avenue, and I worked at Corvettes. I don't know if you're old enough to remember Corvettes.
Yeah.
With a K.
Yeah.
Okay, I worked there, and then I moved around, and then I came to Milwaukee, and I bought a hardware store, a little tiny True Value hardware store, went into trucking in about 79. And I've been doing trucking ever since. We do a lot of work between here and Chicago. We do a lot of big work and little work. We're in the warehousing business. We have a retail center. And then came the Gobbler. The Gobbler has nothing to do with anything that I've ever done in my life.
Why did you want to do it? Why did you want to take on the Gobbler?
A lot of reasons, I guess. Number one, I saw it at the outlet mall. Number two, I'm 62 years old. And I was pretending to be George Lucas instead of Jerry Garcia. And I thought, well, maybe we can buy this thing and resurrect it. Now, to buy it and to resurrect it took a lot more money and time than I thought. The physical building was in good shape, but nothing worked. It hadn't seen water for years, and you needed to put in a sprinkling system and new HVAC and electric and everything. And that took a while. I was motivated also by the fact that I've been a concert goer for years, and so many small venues just are not very nice. I mean, if you go to a big place, you're going to see a great show, but when you go to little places, there's beams, obstructed views, strange odors, and on and on.
Yeah, like our studio here, Dan.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. I'm sure it smells like a daisy, sir.
What was that? You know, when I was there Sunday, I did talk to some people who had spent their honeymoon there. It was great. They were so sweet. They were there for 3 days back at the hotel. I think it was in the late 1979 or something. But there were a lot of former staff members there. You said a lot of alumni. When you talk to these people and get their oral histories, what do you learn from them? What do you hear them saying? And what of their stories are you applying in the operation today?
It brought the town together. It was something that the township or the village could be proud of. Half the people either worked there or ate there, maybe more than half. And it brought everybody together. And I think the last 20 years that it's been laying fallow or empty, I think people were sad because they were waiting one day for the bulldozer to come up. And I think that what happened is that by bringing it back, it gave them kind of a little sense of pride. I mean, it's like the village pool or the little museum or whatever you'd want to call it. It gave folks a sense of pride. We've had tremendous support, not only from the folks that live there, but from the village of Johnson Creek. The county, Jefferson County, has been supportive. And for that matter, Madison, who originally, when the gentleman was going to build the restaurant, he was going to build it as a theater, not a restaurant. So the state was real great in helping us work it, because also we did not land up having to change it from what its original intention was, and that helped us with a lot of costs.
You've done a great job. I asked you the other day, could I just come up there and have a drink? I love it that much, but it's all entertainment. It's just not open for drinks. You got to have entertainment there.
No. It's just entertainment. And the one thing that I'm trying so hard to focus on is that – I heard that gong. Does that mean I'm almost
done?
We
got to wrap here. But, yeah, go keep going.
Real quick, I want to make it be affordable. I want people to be able to come there, bring their families or bring their kids or their girlfriend or whatever, and be able to afford to go there. So many of these venues are real expensive. We're working real hard to maintain the cost where people can go have fun.
Thank you so much, Dan. Give us the details again, the website and the basics.
It's gobblertheater.com. And it is on Highway 94 and 26 in Johnson Creek, Wisconsin. My name is Dan Manassas, doing business as Lucas.
Okay. All right. Let's stay in touch. I'll be back.